Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text is the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. When I was younger, or I should say when my children were younger, before they got married, one of my favorite jokes to tell around my in-laws was, you know the difference between an outlaw and an in-law, right? If you haven't heard it, the answer is the outlaws are wanted. I used to get a good laugh over that one until my daughters got married and I realized it was talking about me. But I don't believe that there's a member sitting here today who doesn't understand what Jesus is saying in verses 52 and 53 of our text. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This is not talking about the normal stuff that happens in life. This is actually talking about the division that occurs in a family over the faith. You see, we've grieved as we've seen our loved ones who have forsaken God's word, choosing rather to worship the idols of this age, rather than be served by the Almighty God. That's the interesting thing with idols. They always demand more work. They always demand you do something more to keep them happy. The idols of work and worldliness and weakened pleasure always seem to consume, and they seek to consume from the followers at least their time and their money. Yet they never deliver anything. Only an emptiness that desires more but can't be filled. That's what idols do. They always demand increasingly more, and only the true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, comes to serve us rather than to be served by us. Even our evangelical friends have messed up what worship is because they think it's something we come to do for God instead of coming to God's house to be served by Him. Just look at the text. It is shocking to hear, at least for our itching ears and the itching ears of our age, they prefer a Jesus who is meek and mild, lying in a manger or laying on his father's lap, like Theo is up in the balcony there. Somebody who's a little more manageable, a little more quiet, who doesn't get in the way of our good time. That little Jesus has no judgment. No threat there. It must sound harsh to hear Jesus say that he's coming to bring fire and division upon the earth. How can fire and division be service? It doesn't fit my internet Jesus at all. Jesus wants us to simply get along, to be happy. Well, don't give me this division stuff, this doctrine stuff, this law gospel stuff, Pastor. That's annoying. Yet Jesus doesn't lie. Do you think I have come to give peace on earth? A Coke and a smile, if you will. No, I tell you, but rather division. You see, his word brings fire on earth that will burn even the closest bonds, even in our own families, as it divides sin and grace, hell and heaven, sinner and saint, law and gospel. Lord, have mercy on us all. Jesus brings a dividing fire. His word is that fire. This is not a snuggling fire on a cold winter's night or a joyful campfire for making s'mores or even a celebratory bonfire. Jesus is speaking about God's purifying fire, judgment fire, law fire. This fire is end times fire. For Luke, this judgment fire is busy and active. Trees that don't bear fruit are cut down and burned. Chaff and wheat separated, the chaff burned with unquenchable fire. Judgment fire is horrifying. It's horrifying law to sinners like us. And it should strike fear in us all, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This we publicly confessed about ourselves just moments ago. This fire, you see, that Jesus speaks of is for you and for me. The prophet Jeremiah tells us that this fire is God's word, law, and gospel. God's word is a living and active consuming fire that destroys all that is not God, that is not of God. Verse 49, Jesus says, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. This word is the fire that consumes the lies and dreams of the false prophets and the deluded lies of our own flesh's dreams and visions. As Jeremiah said, I have heard the prophet who have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. God bless. Think about it for just a second. Pick a sin. Any sin. Look at the Ten Commandments. Any sin. There's a pastor and there are churches that are lining up, it seems, just to tell you it's okay. That's how you've been made. Everybody's doing it. You can't help it. Or it's between you and God, after all. Who am I to judge? Have you ever heard such pompous phrases? It's as if these belittling belly feeders think that we are some kind of mindless animals, that evolutionary theories were correct, and we were not created in the image of God, but just another animal fulfilling all our urges, grunting around like pigs. Don't ever let somebody speak so cruelly of you or to you. You are loved by God. You are a child of God, an heir of the kingdom of heaven, and you have been washed and justified and sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. As St. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For you see, sinners like us, John pronounces, the Word made flesh, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the one who will baptize with fire and with Spirit. This baptism, you see, joins us to Jesus' division on the cross, and yet it brings for the believers eternal peace. Jesus, the Word incarnate, was divided for us. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. This is the cross, where all the wrath and all the judgment of God that we deserve is meted out on His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And there on the cross of Calvary, Jesus suffers what we know we deserve, and He cries out what we should have. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This Golgotha, this place of the skull, this death hill, is the place of the fulfillment of God's promise to Adam and Eve and all sinners since, that the serpent's head would indeed be crushed and the fire of judgment consumed in the God-man, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is His baptismal fire, and is kindled in our baptism as we are joined to Jesus' death and resurrection. God's word divides the Christian from the devil, the world, and even from one's own sinful self. What did we learn in the catechism? What does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sin and all evil desires. Daily we drown the old Adam, and that new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. You see, in baptism, Jesus' death for our sins is our death of our sins. His resurrection is our rising to life each day and our promise of eternal life as our days come to an end. As St. Paul writes to the church at Rome, "Do you not know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Today, we not only come together to be served by God through his word of forgiveness spoken in our baptism and in the absolution, we also come receiving Christ's very body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine, given and shed for you and for me, for life and an eternal. Your sins and my sins are forgiven us. This not only offers us this forgiveness of sins, but this forgiveness is the only thing that can restore our brokenness and divided lives. As we come to God's table, the cup of blessing which we bless, St. Paul says, is it not the participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. We all partake of the one bread. So come today, dear friends in Christ. Come today. The word made flesh is given for you. The very body and blood that was nailed to the cross to earn our salvation, that consumed the fire of God's wrath, to bear all our punishment, is freely given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Taste and see indeed, our risen Lord and Savior is most definitely good. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.